ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty, what happens is Bruce thinks he can be God better than God can. And so God says, okay, go ahead, take over. You can have all the prayers. And as he said in there, the one quote, I think it was kind of funny, and I think is quite true. He's like, man, what a bunch of whiners, you know? And sometimes we do. That's exactly what we do. When we go to God, we come across as whiners. But aren't we glad that we aren't in charge of the prayers of the entire world? We can barely keep our own lives in check, let alone be responsible for the guidance and the wisdom and the oversight of the entire world. Blessed Assurance is the title of our series, and we want you to know that God hears us. He wants to be involved in our lives as someone who's not someone we just check in with or as a feedback or a reference point. He wants to be involved into the point that he guides, is in charge of our very own life. The Blessed Assurance definition we're working with this series is a declaration to remind or to reassure oneself of the promises of God. God has promised us and given us a great tool in prayer, and today that's what we're going to talk about. Before we go any further, I want to thank Phil for covering last week. I want you to know, Phil, you are neither a piece of cardboard or a pain. You are absolutely a joy to work with. I got to listen to his message online and come up with a page of critique. No, I'm just kidding. I did not actually do that. I just wanted to find out, you know, where we are, and thank you for setting the stage for us on this series, talking about the assurance of salvation and the promise and the security of what God has promised us through salvation. Today we talk about prayer. Growing up in Royal Ambassadors, as a young kid, they taught us that God's phone number was Jeremiah 33:3. Now, you can't actually go on the rotary dial because that's what I had to do growing up. Believe it or not, I know how to work one of those rotary dials. It's not actually God's phone number. You can't do that and actually get God on the other line. But Jeremiah 33:3 says this. Let me find my notes. There we go. God says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. The way I grew up memorizing was, call unto me and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you don't know. When you call on God, he answers. So, I'm glad that God is not too busy for us, that we're not a bother to him. He wants us to call to him, and because of who he is, he wants to connect with us in time of prayer. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 139:1-16. Yes, we're going to read all 16 verses because I think it paints such a beautiful picture of God's heart towards his own children. Psalms 139, starting verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind, and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me and the light will be as light, and the light will be about me night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as day, for the darkness is light with you. For you formed me in my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. And your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. First point, if you're taking notes today, fill out your bulletin, is this: God hears everything. God hears everything. You look at verse 4, it says, even before a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. God hears everything. He knows what we're going to say before we say it, and he even knows the ones that slipped. He heard that before it rolled off our tongue as well. You know, we all have those close friends, you know, where we finish each other's sandwiches, right? For those who watch Frozen, some of your grandparents were like, I've watched that movie way too many times. Yeah, we all have that friend where we know what the other person's going to say. We have such a deep relationship that we kind of know what the other person's thinking before it happens. Someone says something, we look at each other and go, mm-hmm. As awesome as that is, do you know that God knows you better than that? That conversation you have with someone where you kind of go, oh yeah, absolutely, anytime. In your head, you're thinking, please don't ever call me. God not only heard what you said, but he is hearing what you're thinking. He knows the words that we even think. God is so much greater than any great best friend, BFF, we could ever have. Every thought that we have, God hears it. Every word we speak, God hears it. Every prayer that we pray, God hears it. Matter of fact, I'm reminded of the story in Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, where he defeats the prophets of Baal. I'm not sure how you can be a prophet of a God that is not even real, but anyways, we won't get into that. But anyways, these prophets of Baal were challenging Elijah of who the true God was. And Elijah was like, hey, here's the thing. We'll just build an altar. We'll, you know, whoever the God is, answered by fire, that'll be the true God. And the prophets of Baal were like, yeah, we'll do it. They were convinced that their non-God was powerful enough to come through on them. And they began to chant, and they began to scream and shout and sing and everything like that. And Elijah was like, hey, maybe he's asleep. And they thought, oh, yeah, he probably is. So they began. The scripture says they began to yell louder. He said, maybe he's on vacation. Maybe your God went to Bora Bora and went scuba diving. Maybe he is already, he's kind of checked out. He's on a beach somewhere with an umbrella in his drink. Maybe he's on vacation. He's drifted away from you. And they began to do other things, began to cut themselves to get their God's attention. Elijah even goes, maybe he's on the toilet. You're right, it doesn't say that in the Bible. You're right. It says maybe he went to go relieve himself. But Elijah begins to taunt these prophets because their God wasn't answering. We do not serve a God that goes on vacation. We don't serve a God who is asleep from us. And we don't serve a God who clocks out for a moment of recess and we are now left all alone. God hears everything. The words that we say, the things that we think, God hears it all. Let's be careful in how we spend that time with God. And let's be diligent and focused since he hears it all. Let's be specific on what we're doing and talking to him. Let's not just get lost in rambling. I always tell students when I was in youth ministry that we need to quit talking to God like he's Santa Claus. Sit up in his lap and tell him, I want this, I want this. Fix this. Take care of this. Where were you on this? Where were you on this? Amen. We jump off his lap, give him a hug around the neck, and move on. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He loves and he cares for us deeply. Let us spend our time with him effectively and appropriately, not like we would Santa Claus once a year, and here's a list of things. Oh, and by the way, you should give them to me. Why? Because I've been good. Now we've clearly established that God is paying attention. God hears everything we say and everything that we think, leads us to the next point. God doesn't always listen. Now, before you label me as a heretic, before you decide to call for my resignation, I want you to know that I struggled with this just as much as probably you are in hearing that. So allow us to go into the scriptures where we always should hear God's words, not man's. So Isaiah chapter 15, or chapter 1, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15. The prophet of Isaiah speaking to Judah, Jerusalem, in the days of King Uzziah. Isaiah says this in verse 15 of chapter 1. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Now, I don't know about you. That caused me to sit up in my chair over the last couple weeks. Because we're taught God is this loving, this gracious, this all-forgiving, all-knowing, kind, gentle, teddy bear God that wants all men to come to him and know him, and that he will provide all these things, that he will do this, and he will, and then we find here in Scripture that God with his own chosen people says, when you spread out your hands and you look to the heavens, I'm going to hide my eyes from you. And though you make many prayers, I'm not listening. There's got to be a reason. And he gives it. Your hands are full of blood. If you read several verses before that, and you pick up as early as verse 7, you'll find out that God, these people are active in their sacrifices and their festivals and all the things that God himself has instituted to draw his people to him. And yet somehow there's a disconnect from doing what he's asked you to do and where your heart really is. And in the midst of that, he says, I'm hiding my eyes from you and I'm not listening. Although you're doing all the things I've told you to do, you're active in your festivals, you're active in your sacrifices, and you give all those things, there's blood on your hands. Which leads me to another passage of Scripture. If you look at Proverbs 28, chapter 28, verse 9. Chapter 28, Solomon writes, and he says this, if one turns his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. The ones who hear God clearly speak and give instruction and say, I got it, no thank you, God says that prayer is an abomination to God. It's detestable, as some scriptures say. And you're like, Paul, I'm really having a hard time with this because this doesn't fit into my picture, my God in a box, that I can just come up to him and request all these things. And now I find out that there's even a possibility that because I feel like my prayers don't get past the ceiling, that there that actually could be some truth to that. Paul, what's the deal? Let us understand this. We cannot play games with a holy God. We have to get it through our hard heads and our hard hearts, that when we choose to listen to the very words of God and say no thank you and do our own thing and yet expect his blessing in it, we've got it wrong. We have to realize that when we hear God's word and we say no thank you, do our own thing, and then expect him to bail us out and keep us from all harm, we've got another thing coming from, because his word clearly says we will reap what we sow. We cannot play games with the holy God. We cannot expect to go live our life the way we want, say what we want, do what we want, think what we want, buy what we want, everything, and show up on a Sunday morning and go, whoa, wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Yes, there's no condemnation for Christ, for those who are in Christ. Yes, that is true. But don't think that I have to continue to tolerate this. Matter of fact, you read in Romans, in the New Testament, Paul writes and says that God gave them over. I'm telling you, you can push God's buttons. But the great thing about this is you can't ever push the button that says delete or go away from. As Phil talked about last week, once you are his forever. And we are so grateful that in our rebellious, filthy, sinful self, that when we choose to look at God, that we never stop becoming his children if you are actually truly his. You never stop that. And God hears everything. But there are times in our rebellious life that through his scripture, Isaiah says, though your prayers are many, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Now, I'm going to try to dumb this down a little bit to kind of explain some of these things of how this looks and how do we get God's attention. I want to tell you a story about time. I don't remember the exact offense, but I remember the moment pretty clearly because my wife and I were at someone's house. I don't know if it was a get-together, a party, or whatever it was, and I had said something in the midst of that, and it was quite humorous. And there was confirmation that it was humorous because when I said it, I went, and every around me went, except for my wife. I got the look. You know, married people, you know what I'm talking about, okay? It's like you have no soul left in yourself, and when you get it, you're like, oh my goodness, it's just like gut-wrenching. So I tried to make it better, and I said, oh, babe, you know I'm just joking. And I got the whole, and dip from that hug. I was like, ouch. I had hurt her. And all throughout the night, I'd say things like, hey, do you want me to get you a refill? Do you want some more lemonade? Hey, you want some snack? Hey, I'm going to get me a sandwich. Do you want something? It wasn't because she didn't hear me. Because she looked at me right in the eyes. Moved on. We get in the car. Ice cold. I looked and said, hey, did you have fun? No response. We get home. We shut the door. Said, babe, listen. She kept walking. I had really hurt her. But you know what I did? Finally get her attention. I said, woman, listen, I'm the head of the household. Listen to me. No, I did not do that at all. I said, babe, I'm sorry. She stopped right in her tracks. And she turned around. And we began to talk. Why would you say that? I thought it was funny. No, it was hurtful. And right at that moment, she heard the words, I'm sorry. She heard all those other words. Now she's listening to what I have to say. I kind of feel like that's a little bit what it's like with God sometimes when we just continue to live our own life in sin and yet expect his full blessing and provision, and we're going to ignore him and be rebellious against his law and his commands and everything he's commanded us to do and want to know where he's at in all this, then all of a sudden we say, God, I'm sorry. I got another illustration for you how it looks. My sister, she has a golden retriever. And this golden retriever, her name is Lady, and she is so stinking smart that if you're in conversation and you say the ones words, outside, ball, play, any of those things, she jumps up. And when she was a puppy, my kids, we were all visiting, and they said something like, hey, let's go outside. And she heard that, and she jumped up and just going crazy. She's an older dog now. She's a little less active. But check out this video of my sister pretending to be on the phone real quickly. Check out this response from Lady.
You know, it's very interesting. Yeah, we could do that. We could go outside.
Did y'all see that? She heard the word outside and I'm listening. So there are times in our life when God is listening for us to repentance, which is the third point is this. Prayers of repentance rise above everything else. You want to get God's attention? Then do business with him. I always try to follow a model, not always. Most of the time when I pray, I try to follow a model called ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Finish the first part of my prayer, start out just talking about how great God is. The second thing is confession. And if I get past that, then I begin to thank him for all those things. And the last thing I do is start asking for a bunch of things that I like or need or for other people. confession. The prayer of repentance rises above everything else. I just can imagine it's like God saying, you're living a life in rebellion against me. I'm not listening to what's going on. I hear it all. And all of a sudden I hear, God, I'm sorry. And God's like, yes, let's talk. The eyebrow raises. You've got my attention. Let's talk. Now, if we keep looking through scripture, we look at 1 John 1:9. It's on the screen. 1 John 1:9 says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He hears it all. And when he hears us confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now we have his attention. Psalms 51:17, a prayer in where David is asking God to forgive him of his sin with Bathsheba. And chapter 51, verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise, or oh God, you will not deny. These sacrifices back in Isaiah before, they were involved with them. They were doing those things, but they were kind of doing their own thing with it. And there was blood on their hands and there was rebellion in their nation. Although they were doing all the right things that God had set forth, their heart was far from him. He says, there's blood on your hands. I'm not listening. You're doing all the right stuff, but your heart is far from me. And David says, you know what? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. God, you will not despise that. If our aim and our goal in a Christian life is to bring joy and honor to the heart of God, then why would we not start with our shortcomings, our lies, and the filth in our own lives? I can tell you why. Pride. The same thing you fight, the same thing I fight. That I can do it better. I cannot worry about letting my mind think about that. I don't have to get angry about that. I will trust you more. I'll have more faith next time. Pride, this is not really a problem. I don't really struggle with that. It's the same thing for you. It's the same thing for me. Just letting go and trusting, okay, God, you're right. I'm broken over this. I can't do it. And I'm sorry. God's like, you have my attention. Not only that, I am faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all of this. Blessed assurance. It's a declaration to remind, to reassure oneself of the promises of God. God's word promises that he loves us and he hears us. It also promises that we cannot continue to live our lives apart from him and expect him to buy into all of our requests. But let us be reassured that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.